Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is the International Black Summer Talk Show Network coming to you live and in color. Coming to you, bringing to you information, conversations of empowerment, of transformation, of possibility every week from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So without further ado, let's go through what we do. And how we start the show is with the Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. North, south, east, west, above, below, within, and around. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. Hey, Henrietta.
Hey, Glenn. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
Great. Happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, my dear. Thank you.
Yeah. I have noise. I'm traveling. There's noise in the back. So if you can give me about 15 minutes, I'll have to put you on mute, okay?
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. We've got Ed.
Yeah.
Bobby on the phone.
Great.
Hey, Ed, how are you?
Hey, Glenn.
Good. Can you hear your voice? Ed is one of the folks out of Hotlanta and is doing some great things and doing some great conversations, holding down some great conversations around media and getting the word out. So thank you, Brother Ed, for being on the show. We always love that you can come and participate and hang out and share with us your pearls of wisdom.
Well, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. No problem. So today is Father's Day. And so I want to acknowledge all of the fathers out there in the world. It's an opportunity to look to see what, who and what you're contributing to. And even if you're not a father, just being a man in the world, and what is your contribution to the communities that you are in? Notice I didn't say necessarily communities you serve, but the communities that you're in, because sometimes you just happen to be in the area, in the space, and you have spheres of influence that it can impact young people and old people to do things consistent with moving the community forward. So I just want to acknowledge all the fathers out there and all the men out there who are, some of which are fathers, some of which are baby daddies, some of which are uncles and cousins and all the other types of relationships that are out there that are all essential to us as a community and essential to influencing and leading, being the leader in our lives. So, with that, I just wanted to say that, and Ed, do you want to talk a little bit about some of your initiatives and some of the things that you want to do inside of the media conversation inside the International Black Summit?
I could, but, you know, I just have one request. Could you share a story about your dad, given his Father's Day? I kind of had a story I wanted to share.
Okay, good. I have a lot of great stories. The one story that comes to mind is there's a couple stories I'll share. So the first one I'm going to share is really about one of the things that I don't know that people know about my father is that my father was somebody who was committed to family and to having us see the world. So it was critical to him, and so we traveled. And so we traveled all the time. One of the things that we did was that we actually traveled to Disneyland every Easter. So that was like our regular standard Easter trip. And then we also had trips where we went around the country, around the world. And so on one of these trips, we're on our way to the Canary Islands. And we have to stop in Portugal. And so we had about 6 hours in Portugal that we had to lay over. We got a hotel, and we'd gotten in from early that morning, and our flight wasn't, you know, maybe till that night sometime. So we were just kind of hanging out. So we jumped into a cab, and the Portuguese cab driver is, you know, he's trying to engage us. You know, he doesn't know a whole lot of English, but, you know, we're talking to each other, so he knew that we're speaking English. And the cab driver looks over to my dad, and he says, "You Zulu from Africa?" So my father kind of looks over at the cab driver. Now we're in the back seat. He's sitting up front with the cabbie, and my sister, myself, and my mom are in the back seat. And he says, "Baby, Zulu don't dress this clean." Oh man, the four of us were cracking up for about, oh man, a good 15 to 20 minutes. And of course, that nipped in the bud the cab driver's any kind of conversation that we used. But it was just, you know, you talk about comical things that he did, and it was just, you know, because I mean the guy, you know, the cabbie was trying to engage us, but you know, of course all he used to is seeing black people from Africa, and so, you know, to engage us, you know, that was pretty funny. And then I actually have a summit story about my dad. My dad is sitting somewhere in Germany in transit, and he's sitting there, and he's engaging in, you know, when you're traveling and you see other black folks abroad, you know, you engage, and so you saw this young lady, and she was on her way. You know, she was in transit, and you know, we struck up a conversation. Come to find out, she was traveling to the International Black Summit.
Wow.
Yeah. So wow. My dad's sister, he says, "Oh, well, my son is involved in the International Black Summit, and you'll probably see him at the event." You know, yeah. So it's, you know, you talk about a small world, and and the engagement of travel and the importance of travel. And the thing that I was always left with him was to experience things and to experience new things and different things and to really think outside of the nine dots. So that's a couple stories that I could say about my father. That he was always about engaging and always was about providing opportunities for me and the family for us to be able to, you know, to travel. That was his commitment, and he really supported that opportunity. So,
I got one story I want to share.
Sure.
I kind of learned new about my dad. Not this year, but last year for New Year's, I decided to go down, bring in New Year's by my dad. But, you know, given I got caught up at work, whatever, in time. So it was like 12:05, and I was hitting my dad's door. So he was already at church. So I knew I wasn't going to have enough time to be there. It was probably about 30 or so minutes away from church, from his church. So I just decided to just go to the house and kind of sit there.
Mm-hmm.
So we sat down there, and I tell you, on the first day, he got in probably about maybe 1-ish. And we sat up to about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, just chit-chat talking. And then we woke up all New Year's Day. And I told you we did nothing but watch football all day. That's all we did. And the next day, that's all we did. We just sat there and we watched football all day, me and the old man. That's how I brought in my New Year's last year.
Wow.
And then the next day, we went out for a ride. I got a new car. So come on, Dad. I said, why don't you go ahead and drive? And I said, well, since you're driving and I'm riding shotgun, I said, I'm gonna find some music to play. I said, what do you want to hear? He said, boy, you ain't got no music I want to hear. You know, just, you know, kind of talking. low. So he said, Dad, talking like, you know, you got a little older. So I went in there and I pulled some stuff up. I had some Pops and Staples singers. I had some old days, but you kind of shot by a little bit. And something that I learned, that I said, Daddy, his favorite album was Marvin Gaye's Sexual Healing.
Really? Wow.
My dad, I learned that was his favorite album. So we riding down 48, windows winding down, blasting Marvin Gaye's Sexual Healing, me and the old man, looking like Batman and Robin.
it was
hilarious, right?
Uh-huh.
But I learned something. You know, that was something new I learned about my dad. And you know, and then he liked that my mother died in 2009. I said, be sure I was just, you know, making, you know, extra effort, you know, to kind of go out and hang out with the old man a little bit, you know.
Right.
So that's
right.
Why I just kind of did it. And you know what? I'm gonna tell you. And it wasn't nothing fancy. No, but we just had a good old time. But I'm just sitting here tripping like we like again, Batman and Robin, Ryan down, Wonder down, last one, a little Marvin Gaye, Sexual Healer.
Wow.
That was me and the old man, and I was sharing that story yesterday, you know, with some folks. Subject kind of got there, and I just thought about, you know what, that would be a great story to share for Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
So, short, simple, and, you know, sweet, but, you know, we really had a good time, and I learned something new. That was a favorite album.
It's an amazing thing, and I think that's one of the things that we, just as a culture, and I'm not even talking about black culture, but just culture in general, need to do more or do a better job in terms of ingratiating our older generation, like really having them, finding out what they're up to and what their thoughts are and what they think about stuff and what they're up to. Because we've got a wealth of knowledge that's escaping us, that we really aren't tapping into. And, you know, I think that's, you know, and that's part of some of the legacy that our fathers provide for us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That is an understatement if I ever heard one. I'm telling you, I am with you there, and I, as I like to call it, they're like the anchors of the
mm-hmm.
culture.
Yeah.
They're anchors. Keep you grounded.
Because in the African village, the elders were the ones that actually hung out with the young people.
Yeah.
They actually, when you look at it, and you look at the whole dichotomy of the family. So the father had a say, but then the grandfathers also had a say in how the child was developed. And a lot of the early development was with the grandparents. Because, of course, the father is out, you know, cultivating and doing what needs to happen. And so there's a bonding of the old and new, passing of knowledge, and then from the grandfather to the grandchild. And then the father's role is also very explicit in that as well. So, I mean, we've got a lot of resources that, with all this technology and with all the other stuff that we're doing, is sometimes missed. So it's important for us to connect with our elders and certainly with our fathers and mothers and grandfathers and grandmothers as well.
Yeah, it was funny because I had the music on my iPod because okay,
uh-huh.
Dad, well, I'll show you how we used the iPod. You know, we was kind of going through the process of that. But
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't trade it for the world. I really enjoyed it, and I would do it again, you know. But
yeah.
It's just pretty cool, and I think about it too. But there's another guy I know who's from, you know, Guyana, and he always called me his unofficial son. He had a chance to meet my dad. Everybody gets along just fine. I had one of my cousins who was, you know, married to one of his cousins. That's how I met him. But
uh-huh.
I look at him and some of the things that he learned, like. For example, he always said, "Edward, you have to go back to the earth." Like I can remember how he would tell you if you have some issue with your blood pressure, here's something he would take that would help you with that. Or
yeah.
If, for example, needed to clean mm-hmm. needed electric to clean your system to detox, you know
mm-hmm.
you get your an aloe leaf, and if you leave the green stuff on there, it works even better. But he just gave you little stuff that you could do that was just off the earth. So when you think about it now. Nowadays, everybody want to do what? Medication, Medicaid, everything. Whereas
mm-hmm.
his situation, hey, you got to go back to the earth.
Go back to the earth.
You know, so when you said, you know, just say that, man, I'm telling you, man, you put it to the choir on that one, because there's a lot of things that we don't get from that generation, you know, we're not getting from that generation that we will clearly miss out on.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a
little
very valid point.
Well, we got another caller. Hold on a second, Ed. We'll go to caller 504-309. I suspect I know who this is, but I want to hear who it is.
You know who it is. Happy Father's Day, rascal. You're a rascal, yeah. Go ahead on. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you. Happy Father's Day to you.
All right.
Back at you, yeah. So, and anything... Anything that we've been sharing stories about our dads. Anything that you'd like to share?
Well, yeah, because I'm the last of the Mohicans, put it like this. My father was World War II veteran, and
uh-huh.
my brother is Korean veteran. I'm Vietnam veteran, so I had some stories, I had some information, I had some, heads up before I got into the war, what to do, what not to do. But one thing I gotta say, Glenn, my father, he believed in detoxification, getting the the poison out your system. Every 3 times a year, he would give you citrate magnesia, and give you a flush out, bro. And that was the best detox ever happened to me, because I didn't catch cold, I didn't catch pneumonia, I didn't catch the flu, I didn't catch the polio vaccine or nothing, because we got rid of all the poisons in our systems. That's all I got to say for my Father's Day. Nah.
I know that's right. I hear you, man, because that is some real powerful information. Because, you know, the thing that I look at and the thing that I keep hearing and I keep wondering about is all of this medication. Ed talked about it. And all this medication is just keeping you, you know, you're like the rat on the wheel.
That's right.
The exercise wheel. You're doing a whole lot of work, but you ain't going nowhere. And it really is about breaking that and really going back to Mother Nature.
Going back really, to the old school.
Going back to old school, they talk about the witch doctors. They talk about the shamans,
mm-hmm.
and what have you, because all this stuff is from the earth.
That's right.
This stuff is straight from the earth, and really provides something. So it's important that we not lose sight of that and begin to really. Embrace it, because it really is a possibility of us healing ourselves, like naturally,
right?
Like really taking care of ourselves, and you know, I'm looking down at my feet. Just got these. I don't even know what you call them. Vibrams, which is like walking barefoot.
Yeah.
And you know, you have all the different toes in the shoe itself. And you know, it's like getting back to basics. Because there's something that we lose when we're not using all five of our toes individually. You know, and it's like, so I've been trying them out. And you know, I'll have to keep an update. But it's like I keep looking for opportunities to be natural. To go back to being natural, and it's you know, I think it's an important part of our culture that we've got to keep available.
But you know,
yeah, go ahead.
Let me say this. Excuse me. You know, but what I find is interesting that when I think about it, it helps us to be proactive versus reactive.
Absolutely.
You know, I shouldn't have to wait till I get into the doctor's office. So, okay, you might want to leave the pork alone, or you might want to, you know, not do so, you know, whatever that is, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's about
mm-hmm.
trying to do these things on the front end, but it's going to take us to take the time to sit down and listen in order to get that information. But a lot of time, I think that I had a cousin in New York, and I remember when I was younger. I was staying at one of my cousins in the South Bronx. We would, you know, go down to, you know, on Morningside in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one of my cousins say, "Hey, I'm about to run downtown. You want to kind of run out there with me?" He said, "No, I don't want to go down there with you." I said, "Why not? You want to sit around there with the more folks all day and talk?" Now, I'm telling you, that's what he said. But you know what? I'm a free man. And right now, he's in jail.
Go ahead.
Mm.
You get that?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow.
I'm a man, and he's in jail to this day.
I hear you.
So, and I think that, you know, and I think that to me, when I sit back and, you know, and I really think about that, man, and that thing just kind of, it just shakes me sometimes, you know, when you're just looking at the reality. You know, that you really have to, you know, really think about it. And I just think that sometimes, and I know that there have been times where, you know, I have volunteered, you know, on some mentoring programs, you know, in the past. And I know we had one with 100 black men here in Georgia. And I'm a member of Toastmasters, so, you know, kind of working on public speaking. You know, that we thought it was a good idea to have some of the youth, you know, learn some of the concepts behind public speaking, you know, help them with their confidence, you know, how to present themselves, et cetera. And sometimes, you know, to me, it was more than just that. I would also share things about life, And I think of the time we had a situation. Matter of fact, it was on a Super Bowl weekend a few years ago, and we only met on like Tuesday. That was the day that we actually met. And this one particular Tuesday, I was asking them, you know, as we were kind of talking, how do you all think society see you all as a generation? How do you think? You know, and you have those who feel kind of as old folks would say, smell themselves, you kind of cocky. Oh, this feels good, you know, trying to be sarcastic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they, you know, the Super Bowl game was that. And on the following Tuesday, when I came in, I said, you know what, I had a great idea. And I said, and I asked how many people had a chance to watch the game, and you know, naturally all the hands went up. I said, how many of you guys agreed that gambling is illegal? So the hands went up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many people think people actually gambled on that game? And I said, but there is one gambling, a format of gambling, that's legal. And they looked at me at first because I was crazy because they didn't know where I was kind of going.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I want you to think about the New York Stock Exchange.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Right. That's gambling, right? Because you don't know what's going to happen, right? You put money up on the whole right? So I'm just trying to make things common sense and just kind of like everyday kind of thing to you. And I said, well, I tell you what, guys, I want you to see something. I happen to saw a particular company. A company we call a CCNA. I forgot what exactly, but something about correctional. But I didn't tell them that. And I said, but mm-hmm. I said, but we can agree that's gambling, but that's legal, right?
Right.
Now I said, I gave them this particular company, and I also gave them had like a 1 year and a 5 year line chart. I let them see how you read a chart and notice how the line chart is going up. That means
mm-hmm.
it's going in and upward. Does that mean that's a positive thing? They're making money. I let it see how it went for a year, then let it see what it did for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, you know, as they looked at us, you all can agree this company is doing well, right? And they all could agree with it based on the papers I passed out, that I printed
mm-hmm.
everything out, I put 5 years, you know, in 1 year on the same paper, passed it to everybody. Now I said, does anyone know what this company CCNA was? And they didn't know. But the company was called some kind of correctional something. They built correctional facilities. They built jails.
Yeah. Yeah, they build jails and they train officers, correction officers, staff.
And what I did, and I said, I remember someone told me last week that they saw us as you are as a generation a positive thing. So someone said that, and I said, and I printed out the post for 3 years, that current year, the year prior, the year prior to that. Said business is booming. Profits or so on, or whatever, they, you know, they had different titles from the past few years. But I wanted them to see, so when someone tells me that they see you all as a positive thing, then they wouldn't have a need for this. But see, they're
mm-hmm.
building these on the hopes to get y'all in here. Because some of y'all ain't going to follow direction. Some of y'all ain't going to do what people tell you. Some of y'all are going to have your own mind. You got to learn the hallway. And what they're doing is doing what they're paying for you. And guess what? People are doing what? Betting that you won't do well, and guess what? For some of them, they're winning.
Yeah.
That's why they stop. So I put it that way for them to get the point that I was making.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
sometimes, that's what I mean when I say that our younger generation don't really see us and our parents and our, you know, uncle, whatever that is, as anchors to the community.
Yeah.
You know, and I just think that's kind of unfortunate, but it's a challenge. You know, but
it is a challenge.
Have,
yeah.
Yeah, but
yeah,
just
right.
to have had conversation, you know, and I just so I just think that it is a trip, but you know, it just you preach to the choir, man. You know, say what you said earlier. And I just
mm-hmm.
think that's a challenge, but it's the idea, the number one, that they recognize and have a sense of value of who we are, you know, our wisdom and our information. And to me, you know, as a matter of fact, there's even a guy, there's a Walmart local to me. I will sometimes take the time and I'll sit down and I'll stick my head in the door. His name is Mr. John. I always call him, I forgot his last name, but his first name is Mr. John. I said, "Hey, Mr. John, how you doing?" I said, "I might take 10 or 15 minutes." And you should be agreed at the door. I'll sit right there and talk to him for a little bit as he's doing what he's doing. And I'll kind of take on off, you know, do what I'm doing. But it's the idea that sometimes you take the time to do it. I say, number one, he knows that I can, you know, listen to what he's saying. You know, he share words of wisdom. We'll chit-chat and talk. And, you know, he'll, you know, tell me whatever thing they are to say. But it's just the idea that I can just honor who he is. You know, just because I got you an elder, I got that you sharing. And a lot of times people don't mind telling you something. And something I learned long ago, that I got two ears and one mouth. I should be able to do what? Listen twice as much as I talk.
Very good words of wisdom.
Yeah.
Let me take a break here. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live every 8 p.m. on Sunday, 9 p.m. Over the wires of the Internet. We also have it taped. Our website is www.blacksummit.org. We invite you to go there and take a look at the information of the upcoming summit event. We want to also let you know that in June 24th in Oakland is a Black Summit gathering. That's happening from 7 to 9 p.m. at 2303 24th Avenue, Oakland, California. That's June 24th, 2012. So any of our folks out in Oakland, please take a look. Or if you're going to be traveling to Oakland in that time frame, certainly want to check it out. Also want to check out acknowledge Empowerment Week for the Farmers Boulevard Community Development Corporation. Did a great job, had a great event this past Thursday, Friday, and Saturday on Farmers Boulevard here in New York City, in St. Albans, Queens. Very powerful event and very unfolding into what their mission is to improve the commercial corridor. I also want to let you know the purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision for the Black community and the world. And as you can hear, all three of us have been talking about what our vision is and what we want to have occur in our community and in the world. So, you know, these are kind of conversations that are shared at the International Black Summit. These are the kind of conversations that are embodied and nurtured and supported. And, you know, the International Black Summit is an opportunity to do some networking and to speak to people with like minds that are up to doing the same kinds of things, the same kind of community development, same kind of empowerment, economic empowerment as well. So there's lots of opportunities. Our annual event is going to be in Birmingham, Alabama. You know, it's going to be a quite special event. It's August 2nd to August 5th, 2012, and the theme or the conversation that we're inquiring into, and that's the inquiry that we have throughout the year from the last summit to this summit, is what is possible in life when I be with what is? What is the gift? So it's really an opportunity to share and to look at, you know, because sometimes we don't want to be with what is. We want to do something different. And what is possible in life when I be with what is the gift that's being provided? So a real opportunity, a real conversation to engage you in and to engage what we're up to. We're celebrating Father's Day tonight. And we've got some interesting gentlemen that are on. And Henrietta has been back and forth in the call, but she's been traveling. I know she's been hurdling Huntsville, Birmingham, and all points south. So kudos to her and her commitment to have this Birmingham event be very powerful. You know, as we look at the upcoming election for the second term of Barack Obama and the criticism and the opportunities that he has provided us, we have an opportunity to look and think for ourselves in terms of what's possible and what is it that we see inside of our vision. So, of course, we're not endorsing anybody, but we just invite you to look at the facts and to go out and vote in the fall election, because it's very, very important for us to speak our minds through votes. Because if you don't vote, then you can't criticize what's there. And even voting is not enough. It's really about what are you doing in your actively in your community around leadership and organizations, personal leadership and organizational leadership in your community, in your families, at your workplace, at your churches, or places of worship, and you know, it's a real opportunity. So, anyway, so as we celebrate Father's Day, anything else you guys would like to share about Father's Day? Mr. Nunu or Mr. Ed?
Well, you know, and I think that to me, you know, when I think of the summit, you know, to me that's something else. And again, I think that I look at the conversation as an anchor to our culture. You know, that's how I relate to the summit. You know, and I think that, you know, my dad and, you know, he came out to a summit before as well. So I thought that was, you know, that was interesting for him, you know, to kind of to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, I look at some of the men that are there, like Glenn, like you. You're a perfect example. I'm quite sure you have bad days, but I've never seen you have a bad day. It's always been how you always present yourself, and even though we got, you know, folks from different angles and areas in life, you're probably one of the sharpest dressed brothers I see. Not right or wrong, but, you know, me being a little younger, you know, I would see that. You know what I'm saying? He said, "That's all right. You know, he has on a nice hat. You know, the slice, you know, whatever that is. But you know, to me, because I'm, you know, I've been in the conversation now, but maybe over 10 years, it's about 10 years. But I would always mm-hmm. see those kind of things, and those kind of things would stand out to me. You know what? I say, yeah, I think I need to present myself, you know, like that. That's a cool look. You know what I'm saying? Things like
yeah.
that. So even within the summit itself, and you know, again, people come up from different backgrounds, different angles, different areas of life. But I, hey, you know what? Always have to go lucky. He's lucky. He always stay sharp now. Always, whether he had on sand or whatever, he was sharp with it. And I can always say about me. You know, and I think it's things like that, that, again, you may, and this is my first time ever saying that, right? But that's who you are off of me.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying?
Thank you. Yeah. Well, you know, you're absolutely right, because the thing that's probably the most gratifying for me is to be around some positive folks who are up to doing and making some things happen. I was at this event on Friday night, and we had an artist showcase. And we were presenting it in this building that has not been functional for close to 40 years in the neighborhood. And people have been passing by wondering what's going on with it. And the current owners have only had it about 12 years. And so we've been working with them to get it fixed up and rehab, and the owner's I call her a spouse. She's really, you know, their common law. But she was in the place, and she says, you know what, Glenn? I'm almost to tears because this place is functional, and we've got a group of black people in here that are, you know, we've got lawyers, we've got real estate people, we've got musicians, we've got people, positive people working together, you know, at an event. And she says, you know, to be honest with you, I don't go anywhere too often. Her and the owner don't go anywhere because there's too much craziness. And you know, and it was just a blessing for her to be inside this conversation. And for me, that's what the summit's about. The summit is an opportunity for us to be in conversations with people, with like-minded people who are about being progressive, who are about putting all the issues and aside and standing for possibility of something beyond day-to-day commonality. And I think that that's really the best way to say that opportunity for me, is just to be around positive, engaged people of African descent who are about moving their community and all communities forward. So, I mean, it really is a positive conversation you get to engage in. And, of course, you get to keep engaging in this conversation year in and year out. We're going into our 22nd year, and we've had these conversations and created some lifelong friendships out of it. You know, I look back at some of the cats that I've been working with in the beginning, actually even before the summit was available, in PDEG, People of African Descent Empowerment Group in New York. And when you look at the things that were put in place with those relationships, and then those relationships lend itself to the International Black Summit and have carried things forward. So, I mean, we're in love with each other. I mean, it's just, you know, it's true partnership. It really is true partnership. And I think Henrietta is back. Here you go, Henrietta.
I am. I am. Thank you so much. This has been very enlightening as well as interesting. I was listening, first of all, to the stories that both of you told about your dads, and that was great. You know, those stories are great when we're doing this countdown to Birmingham, and every week we feature someone from that area, and when I say that area, it's anyone who's really participating in the summit 2012. We are going from city to city in the state of Alabama, the major city, I should say, major city to major city in the state of Alabama, to let people know about the annual event. And it is very interesting how the summit works and how the city calls for the summit. We don't choose like a city and go to that city as it appears, but an area will call forth the summit. And this year, the area that has called forth the summit is Birmingham. Birmingham is the actual city, but it's the surrounding areas as well that are welcoming the summit. And as we go to make people aware of what's going on August 2nd through the 5th, we have come across just the most interesting stories that you know, they just kind of blow your mind. We met with the director of the Rosa Parks Museum on Tuesday, this week on Tuesday. And I'm telling you, she distinguished activism from social injustice. And it was like talking, to Rosa Parks, you know. She had, it was just very, very interesting, not to get into a long story about it, but there in Montgomery, then she led her to people in Tuskegee. The people in Tuskegee led us to Mobile. And we haven't been to Mobile yet, but we're headed that way in July. We're going to make our way to Mobile. So if anybody has relatives or friends in Mobile or Savannah, Georgia, those are two of our areas that we're targeting for the month of July. When we left Montgomery, we had been in Atlanta, came to Montgomery, then we went back to Atlanta just to pick up one of the other members of the Summit body, Chakasha. And then we left and went to Birmingham, and we met with Mary Jones, who will be on our show. The director of the Rosa Parks Museum is Georgetta Norman, and she's going to be on our show. So stay tuned every Sunday so that you can hear these stories, all of the history that's held inside of these people, the civil rights experiences and the different things that they've done to, you know, we kind of stand on their shoulders. I always talk about people who live in the North. We kind of stand on the shoulders of people who live in the South. And they're very interesting people to talk to. So, you know, write down your questions, anything you really wanted to know about the civil rights, that time, they're the people to ask the questions to. Mary Jones is the director of the Greater Birmingham Ministry, and she gave us some really great information as to the 16th Street Baptist Church, that bombing that occurred there, and what they're doing, you know, what they're doing now, how they deal with politics, you know, in the city of Birmingham, and, you know, what they're doing moving forward. When we left Birmingham, we went to Huntsville, which is the northern part, who experienced, you know, Huntsville being just a northern city further north than Birmingham or Montgomery, their whole experience of civil rights was different, you know. And so we met with a gentleman who owns the first black newspaper in Huntsville. It might be the only one, but he was in a little city named Decatur, and had to move from Decatur because of the civil rights that were going on, or lack of, I'll say. And he moved to Huntsville because it was a larger city, and he could, you know, the news was, you know, there was a lot more news to print living in Huntsville. So we spoke with him. His name was Mr. Smothers, and he owns now a restaurant. It's called the Improv, and it's a dinner club, you know. It's really, really nice. So he's going to be on our show July 1st on that Sunday. So we have a great lineup for you, so please continue to listen in. I think you'll really enjoy it. Ed, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. I didn't get a chance to hear all of you or all of your sharing, but I just wanted to acknowledge Ed because he's really opening up, you know, opening up the space of the summit as far as media is concerned. And it's like unfolding just right at the perfect time. And he's, you know, he's just doing so much with marketing. I call it marketing / media. And excuse the sirens, but I'm in Chicago, so. But Ed, thank you so much, and Glenn, I'm so glad that you're back. I'm just so glad that you're back. Jill is traveling. I just took Jill to the airport, and that's why I'm kind of still traveling back. She was here for the weekend, and My birthday was Friday, so we had a really great weekend. And Jerry, I spoke with him. So everybody is out doing what they're doing, but we hope you all will all join us in Birmingham August 2nd through the 5th at the Doubletree Hotel on 20th Street in Birmingham. Back to you, Glenn.
Thanks. Well, Ed, why don't you take some time and tell us a little bit about the media, because we haven't had too many discussions about that. I just wanted to, got about 9 minutes left, so I wanted to give you an opportunity. Yeah. And then we've got our leader extraordinaire, Ms. Claire Lyons Devon, has just hooked up with us, so I want to get her on as well. So Ed, give us a little rundown as to what we can expect for media and some of the things that you're looking to create for us this year.
Well, first of all, happy belated birthday, Henrietta. Let me just say that first and foremost. And hello, Claire.
Thank you, Ed.
Yes. Well, you know what, and I think that at this, the key is to do... to find more ways to get the actual word out about the summit. I think the summit itself is a great conversation, and really trying to step in the age of media, you know, using social media, you know, TV, radio, those type of venues. You know, again, this an idea that, you know, just kind of been having, but just trying to be sure that you kind of strategically align yourself with technology. And, you know, and there is a lot of work that will go along with that, you know, the creation of actual databases, the interaction from different teams that, you know, that may handle documentation about the summit, the process around registration, even the website. You know, there are just different, you know, avenues. So just that, you know, how do you, I guess, lack of better words, put on a public relations on behalf of the International Black Summit, I guess is how I would just sum it up to. And I just think that given the value of our conversation, is I think it's something that's worth a lot of people experiencing at the same time. And just, you know, just trying to find some ways to do that. But just be sure, I mean, doing that, it's a juggernaut, you know, just to be honest with you. But I just think that coming from team effort, you know, you can build a building one brick at a time. You know, and I think that the majority of what we are trying to do may not all take a curve by this particular summit, but they are something that we can, you know, interact in and now that I would argue can, you know, make a difference in getting the word out. But just trying to be sure that we lay down the proper foundation that as we move so that the process can be self-sufficient, you know, in doing what it needs to do. But you just want to be sure that we lay down the right, you know, foundation in the process of doing that, you know, just doing that. So, no, that's just like a, you know, a nutshell of what some of the accountabilities that I'm actually walking into, should I say.
Cool. Well, thank you. And we'll keep inquiring into that conversation because it's a powerful one. When we look at social media and we look at the advent of how things are being communicated. Our website, www.blacksummit.org, is actually a social network and an opportunity to invite. So we invite you to go to visit that website and register yourself and or any events that you're working on or up to. So that's a common ground of information for things that are going to move us forward and impact our community. Certainly, you know, it's an exciting time for us to have these conversations to move things forward. 856-264, go ahead. You're live on the air.
Oh, good morning. Actually, it's evening.
Depends on where you are.
It has been a long and wonderful day. I just want to say happy Father's Day to everyone. Happy belated birthday to Miss Henrietta Byrd. And the International Black Summit, this is Clara Lyons Devon, and the International Black Summit really is the best kept secret in the world. It is definitely a space for transformation, and I believe that with the things that Ed is doing with social media, with the things the ground teams are doing, the facilitator teams are doing in the various communities, there is so much advantage in terms of how we can shift what's going on in our communities through the conversation of the International Black Summit. And I'm really excited about the talk show team and the network that the talk show team represents. And I just commend Glenn, Henrietta, Jerry, Jill, everyone who's involved with the team to keep this going. And I think that as people become aware of all of the things and the ways that the International Black Summit conversation, in terms of how it changes lives individually and how it actually changes communities, because we are the people that make up those communities, that it'll become viral, that the conversation will become viral. And I definitely see that happening. Back to you, Glenn.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's so great, because it really is. And the uniqueness of the International Black Summit is that all of the different people and the different ideas are all inside the collective called the International Black Summit, inside what they call the conversation. And so the conversation of the International Black Summit is a powerful one, because it's able to house all of these diverse ideas, these diverse thinking, ways of being, lifestyles that really contribute to our community, contribute to what we are about, and what we want to move forward. Just want to let you know also that, again, that the website is a social media network, www.blacksummit.org. So certainly go and check us out and register yourself. But it's also an opportunity for us to engage each other in some of the things that we're up to. And I'm excited at the possibilities that exist. I'm part of Ed's team, and we're looking at moving this whole social media forward. I'm working on a blog. I'm looking to create a possibility with that and link in some of the work that we're doing with this blog, with International Black Summit, and actually community development. So I'm excited at that as an opportunity, because I know that the folks at the International Black Summit are all community, doing community development of sorts, undistinguished as such. And so it's going to be a great opportunity to engage myself and to engage the other folks around the summit body inside that conversation. So, and then the fact that we're going to Birmingham. You know, we're going to Birmingham, Alabama. We're going to Bama. You know, where it all started. Where when you think of the Deep South, you think of all of the differences. You know, I know when I visited Mississippi for the first time from the North, I had no idea how different the world is in Mississippi. And so, you know, Mississippi, Alabama, you begin to get a different perspective of what's available even in this country. And we're not even, you know, we're still on the same continent, in the same country. And we've got such diverse ways of being. So it's an opportunity for us to get grounded, get to our roots, get really find ourselves, and develop the power that we all are internally. So with that, Henrietta, anything you want to share to close us out?
No, Glenn, I think we covered as much as we can cover this week. And next week we'll have another How Does Summit Run team member join us, and someone from the Birmingham area will be on to talk about what we can expect when we get to Alabama and what's been going on. So thank you so much. And hi, Claire. Good to hear your voice.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, with that, we bid you well. Travel well.
Okay.
Be well. And we look to be back in touch with you next week and after. We love you. We care about you. We are all partners in the same conversation. God bless you.
God bless. Good night.
Hey, good night, guys.
Good night.
Good night.